Hey, y'all, this is Lily Lair. I'm a medical student, second-year medical student at University of Chicago. Today we're talking about activism and the trauma center, particularly this one down here on the south side. And you're listening to Race, Violence, and Medicine.
Welcome to Race, Violence, and Medicine. I'm Dr. Brian H. Williams, and I know I told you I was going to be on hiatus for the summer, but I just come across a fascinating guest, so we're going to bust out a new episode real quick. I'm sitting here with Lily Lehrer. She is a second-year medical student here in Chicago. Also from Dallas, went to the Hockaday School, so we actually have a connection with some folks down in Dallas. But she was telling me about her role she played in helping to establish this new trauma center that is serving South Chicago. So, Lily, thank you for joining Race, Violence, and Medicine.
Thank you so much.
All right, so it's Saturday. We're in the middle of a 24-hour call. She is shadowing. We just finished a case in the OR, and we're grabbing lunch. Teaching her that you got to eat when you can. So we're up here at the cafeteria. We're going to do what we can before we run out of time. So Lily, you were starting to tell me about your role as an activist because you did an undergrad here in Chicago, and now you're a medical student. So just give a little bit about your background, how you got from Dallas to Chicago, then talk about the activism part.
Sure. Gosh. So I showed up here to go to college, University of Chicago. All the Nobel Prize winners and reputation for being rigorous school, so that's what got me here. Almost the second I got here, I learned about the lack of a trauma center at that time in 2010 when I showed up. And I would say basically every single day of my entire undergrad, like from 2010 to 2014, not a single day went by without there being some kind of hearing about that issue.
So tell me, so did you come here planning to get involved with that, or did that just kind of happen de novo after your arrival?
No, it definitely happened after I got here. Yeah, yeah.
So tell me, how does that happen? Like, you come here for higher education, and then you also find yourself as an activist working every day to help get this new trauma center going in South Chicago.
I mean, yeah, I was just like, it was just, you can't avoid it. It's like you get here and you realize you're living in a city. You're not in this little bubble of the university. At least I was not interested in being in that bubble. And then you look around, it's like, what do people say they need? What do people want? And literally, like, you know, we worked with, like, youth organizers from the community, and, like, they were just like, our friends get shot, and then they die in the ambulance going to Northwestern. Like, it was, like, not rocket science. It was like, okay, you guys need to help us because you pay to go to the school. You probably have more access, you know, we were just one part of it, but it was really led by, you know, youth in the community that were like, let's just all work on this one project.
Okay, so you mentioned one of our sister institutions. It's not a knock on them as an institution. It's just a matter of the distance from South Chicago to where they were was a problem for patients that were getting injured. Is that correct?
Yes, and there was one particular incident. I forget the kid's name. It was a 17-year-old kid. I don't want to get the facts wrong. There was one particular incident that really sparked all of this, which was this kid who basically died in an ambulance on his way to Northwestern, and it was thought at the time that, like, basically it would that I don't know, you would know the medical terminology for it.
Well, there's some background. The time from the time he was injured to get to the hospital to get treatment was too long, and he died en route.
And it was thought that it was those minutes that killed him.
Right. They basically had to bypass where we are now to get to there, and yeah. that could have made the difference, but it had been happening a lot in the decades since there was a trauma center in this area. So, okay, let's back it up a little bit.
Sure.
You're from Dallas?
Yes.
Tell us about your time there prior to you becoming a undergrad here in Chicago / activist, now medical student.
Yeah, well, let's see. So I went to Hockaday, which is an all-girls school in Dallas, and we were told that girls can do anything. Girls can be president, girls can be surgeons, girls... There were no boys around to even think about. So, you know, I think I had a very, very feminist childhood, especially at Hockaday. It's really fitting that the first surgery I ever saw done was by a Hockaday graduate. You know, because that's just my vision of the world. That's my understanding, is like women do everything and it doesn't matter. You don't even have to think about it. It's just, you can start to take that for granted. So, yeah, that made me start dreaming big.
It's kind of crazy. Today, we're on call today and there are two Hockaday grads on the team. We had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even surprising. I'm like, of course, it's Hockaday women, like, duh.
All right, so a prestigious all-women school in Dallas. What made you want to become a doctor?
Oh, that's going to be an interesting one. I did not know. There's no medical people in my family, not from a family of doctors. No one likes blood in my family. There's none of that. But I got really interested in Zen meditation at a certain point.
Do tell.
I'm telling you, it's a weird one. Actually, it was at Hockaday that I got interested in that, and a teacher there at the time was like very encouraging of it, and we sort of had a little. It wasn't a class, but it was around high school, and yeah, I got to college. I lived in a Zen monastery for a summer in college. Again, no medicine was even in the picture, but Zen is all about life and death, and so you know you sit there and you know you're supposed to. You're supposed to be able to grasp, you know, life and death. And I was very into it. I was interested in it. But I just thought, like, you know, I bet if I see death, that's going to be a different thing than, like, all of this just sitting here. So I had a real, I had a desire to get into it with actual life and death. And I knew that I could sit with people. And I knew that I'm very, very good in a crisis, very good with calm. So it was years later, I was like, you know what does that a lot is medicine. Yeah. Yeah. So I got involved in hospice care. That was how it all got started. I worked in hospice care during college and then afterwards. And then that eventually brought me to med school.
All right. So you undergrad in Chicago.
Yeah.
You have this Zen background.
Yes.
And then go to medical school in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
How does the activism play into your role as a medical student? How does that inform your studies and your future professional desires?
Yeah, I would say it hugely informed my choice of medical school. I mean, Pritzker welcomes students with opinions, students that want to change the world. It is not a perfect institution, University of Chicago or Pritzker Medical School, but they want to hear that. Yeah. You know, they're open to that.
All right. And just to be clear, neither of us are speaking on behalf of any of these institutions. We're just talking about our experiences here and specifically what we're doing for the patients.
Exactly.
So
these
opinions are our own, represent nobody else's. But anyway, you're trying to change the world here as a medical student. I want to hear more about what you did as an activist during that time. What were your, like, tell us an event that you would consider to be a possible, like a sentinel event that you were involved with.
Yeah, so I was not a community organizer, but I was very...
The buzzer just went off. Our pizza is ready. So we're going to take a pause right now, take a little quick break, and we'll be back in a moment. Stick with us. This is Race, Violence, and Medicine. We're here with Lily Lehrer, second-year medical student here in South Chicago, activist, telling us about how she plans to change the world here in South Chicago. Back in a moment. All right, we're back to Race, Violence, and Medicine here with Lily Lehrer, second-year medical student, talking about her role as an activist in South Chicago. We have our pizza now, but we're going to let it sit here and cool off for just a minute while we finish up this segment. All right, so Lily, tell us about the role you were doing, what you were doing here as an activist.
Yeah, so I probably got wrapped up into it early on, maybe in my first year of college. I mean, you couldn't ignore it. It was, like, everywhere. It's amazing now that we have it. Like, just, it's so impossible for you to imagine just how everyone just knew about the issue. So there were kind of, like, at some points, daily, weekly, monthly walks, you know, just people with signs, like Trauma Center Now. That was kind of the hashtag. You know, we did, like, die-ins on the main quad, and in front of the administration building. It was a lot of just, you know, bread and butter, just the sort of, the just a straightforward protest. Always nonviolent, of course. I mean, that was a big part of it, too. It was like, we're not trying to incite anything here. And it was youth-led. Like, it was not led by... University of Chicago students collaborated with, but certainly did not lead it. It was led by... There was an organization at the time called FLY, that was the main leaders. And they were kids, like, you know, 17, you know, 18-year-olds who were just like, we don't have time anymore. This is it. Like, this, right now. And it lasted for about 4 or 5 years, And then.
So you were doing this when you were, what, 18, 19, 20 yeah. years old. So looking back now, talk about, because that takes some courage to do that, right? You put yourself at professional and personal risk, mm-hmm. Being marginalized by your friends and family. Can you talk to us about that? Did that cross your mind? Did you have any issues? Did you lose friends in the process?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think I do think about my privilege. You know, I am a white student, and I felt like I had a little more margin to be outspoken and to be, you know, a little less careful, possibly. You know, I do think my privilege was at play there, which was also what motivated it. I was like, look, it shouldn't be, you know, black students or, you know, non-students that you know, get involved in this fight. You know, we need to use our privilege, too. You know, we can't just stand by while people who actually have something on the line and who, you know, do the heavy lifting. So I think that was a part of it. But I do, you know, totally acknowledge that I did have a lot of privilege that protected me. It made me feel more confident and sort of fearless about it. Although not to say everyone else wasn't fearless, because there was a lot of fearlessness going on.
So what's next for you? Besides becoming a good doctor, like, where do you see yourself 10, 15 years from now?
That's a great question. I'm getting interested in medical education. I kind of want to tear it all down. USMLE, what's that? Come on.
I agree. Okay, yes. MedEd needs to be changed.
That should be pass-fail. It should be a pass-fail exam, you know?
Right.
So I'm interested in this kind of issue. But, of course, that's just what I'm doing every day because I'm a med student, so medical education is of interest. But who knows?
All right. Well, Lily Lehrer, future Dr. Lehrer, thank you for taking time out on the show today. We're going to let you get to your food because you never know when the trauma pager may go off. We have to go to work. So you've been hearing some knowledge from Lily talking about her role as an activist, student, future doctor. There is no need to compartmentalize all that. Medicine is about social justice. We can bring it all together, bring it to work with us every single day, still be successful, and still have impact. And Lily is a prime example of how you can do that. Thank you for tuning in to Race, Violence, and Medicine. And remember, you can get this podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Tell your family and friends, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. And if you're not into that, just go to the website, raceviolencemedicine.com. And lastly, check out brianwilliamsmd.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I will come to you. You do not have to find me. And I'm most active on Twitter, BHWilliamsMD. Send me your comments, suggestions, critiques, and kudos if you have any of them. It's been my pleasure to spend time with you. We're going to eat and then get back to work. Have a good day.